Hey there, welcome to today's lie, which is lie number 27. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and we have a special guest. Her name is Misty Phillip. She's also a podcaster, and her podcast is called By His Grace. She's an author, she's a speaker, she's a wife. And what we talk about today in this lie that I'm too far gone, she really shares her own story. She shares some great Bible tools and things that she uses to study the Bible. But when we think about this lie, we maybe look at other people and go, that's really great that you're doing that, but there's no way that I could ever do that. You think that according to your past mistakes or the things that you've done or what you've gone through or experienced in this life somehow equals not a different future. And so we think, I'm just too far gone. I'm too old, in a sense, too young to be able to do the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing. And so Misty's encouraging you and equipping you to stand on truth in the midst of this lie. Hey, Misty, I'm so glad that you're here on What's the Truth. So about this lie, what do you think this lie means? Can you just explain it a little bit more so that the listeners can go, oh, what does it mean to be too far gone?
Yeah. For me, being too far gone, I think because I have a past that is not pretty. And, you know, just all of the feelings of not being enough or feelings of guilt or shame, or could God really forgive me? Those were the questions that as I stepped into my calling that the enemy really hit me with. And I'd been in a season of homeschooling my kids for 20 years and began preparing for that next season. I knew God was calling me to write and speak to women. But then I had this nagging feeling like, you're too far gone. There's no way you could ever, like, what do you have to say? Who's going to listen to you? Look at all the things. It was a very, I mean, the enemy is our accuser. And so he likes to hit us with those lies to make us feel like we are not enough, or that we're God can't use us.
Mm-hmm. What can you share? Like, now, have you always been a believer since you were young, or were you kind of, you know, as you got older, like kind of that process? Because if you feel comfortable sharing any specifics about too far gone, I think we hear that like the past. And sometimes when we hear those stories, we can relate and go, yes, that's exactly what I felt before. So is there anything that comes to your mind that specifically had triggered, there's no way that I can come back from this?
You know, I went to vacation Bible school at 6 years old and walked an aisle and knew Jesus, knew that he was in my life, but was not discipled. When I was in middle school, my brother passed away, mm-hmm. and it rocked me to the core, but not only me, but my entire family. And we were not, my family was not in a church, and my mom really struggled. And that had a profound effect on me. And so my mom was kind of checked out, and I began looking for things, you know, going into junior high to, you know, junior high is hard enough on its own, right?
Yeah.
When everything is great and you've got good parents and a solid foundation. But for a girl to have that, to not really have her mom to help her navigate that, and to have this overwhelming grief, I began looking for things to fill the hole, and literally turned to everything possibly imaginable, because I just was so hurt and didn't know how to handle that. And so It wasn't just one thing. It was probably very many things. Mm-hmm. But when I got to college, I rededicated, I came to the absolute end of myself and rededicated myself to the Lord, got myself in a church, began reading my Bible on my own for the first time. And that's when God really got a hold of my heart and radically changed my life. But there was a series of really bad choices and really bad mistakes before that, that left me feeling not worthy of God's love.
I love that you said to the end of my own rope, because I think many of us can relate to that. Like, we think that we're allowing God to kind of, God, you know, God's got this, but we're really not letting him have any reign or any say. And we get frustrated and overwhelmed. And it's like, when we come to the end of our ropes of like, okay, doing it my way is not working anymore. So I should probably let, you know, God do his thing and transform me. And so when you hear this lie being spoken, what really comes alive inside of you? So when somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm too this, you know, my past is too much, and therefore thinking about this future, it just doesn't even, you know, what comes alive inside you? Like, what story about this has really triggered you to start the ministry and write the book that your book that you can share too?
So I was stepping into my calling as an author and a speaker, and I remember so profoundly one day in the middle of writing my Bible study, just feeling, why am I even doing this? Who's going to listen to me? They're going to look at me and say, who are you? You don't have a theology degree. You're just a mom. You've been staying at home with your kids for the last 20 years. What do you have to say? But that was really training ground that the Lord gave me through all of the difficulties that prepared me to write that study. But the enemy knew that I was going to write this study and didn't want that study to come out. And so I remember just feeling, why am I, you know, just desperate. I was desperate. And I just thought, this doesn't even make sense. And I reached out to one of my friends who I've been friends with for a long time. And she spoke truth to me. She prayed for me. And she reminded me of who I am and whose I am. And, you know, that gave me the courage to press in and press on and to realize that the enemy didn't want me to do this. And so I was probably on the right track of doing the right thing. And that I just had to keep pressing on. So,
I was going to say, it's really true, because when I work with women with the lie and the truth, is that as they start to bend towards truth, the accuser comes stronger. And then they go, why is this so hard? And because there's tension, because the enemy wants to uproot the seed of life and peace and truth inside of you, right? And so the more you start to bend toward the truth, you're going to feel the tension.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was in the thick of writing the Bible study, and I experienced all kinds of life difficulties, spiritual warfare, just all of the things. It got to be funny to the point of like, okay, what else is going to happen? Because so many things tried to distract me, you know, to discourage me, but that's the enemy's tactics, you know, discouragement and distraction. And I talk about all of those things in The Struggle Is Real, But So Is God Bible study, because that's what it is. The struggle is real. And whether it's grief or loss or illness or, you know, job loss, any number of things can try to, even the daily things, you know, the daily struggles and the lies that we're bombarded with can really try to discourage us. And so that's why I wrote The Struggle Is Real, so that people would be reminded of truth, of what the Bible says, that the Bible says that we are overcomers, and that we are to have faith and perseverance in the midst of the trial, because if we hold on, there are great rewards for those who are faithful.
Mm. No, that's true. And I think when it goes back to maybe helping women not every woman will probably go to you and go, hey, you know, Misty, I feel like I'm too far gone. It's usually these little words that you'll often hear people say. What, maybe it's that somebody can relate to, what do you hear most so that people can say, oh, maybe I am feeling this way? Because sometimes when we get so disconnected from brain and body, we start to disassociate and numb out. And so we're not really thinking about what we're thinking about. And so when women come to you about this particular lie, what does it maybe look wrapped up in?
Yeah, like I'll hear things like, there's no way I could ever do da 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 da, you know, whatever the thing is. Oh, that's, you're so brave. I can't believe you did that. There's no way. You know, it's those kind of things that I hear. And I can sense the fear, because that's another tactic of the enemy, is fear that tries to hold us back. And so you can hear the trepidation without them saying, yeah, there's, I'm too far gone. They're not going to say that, but they're going to say things like, you know, I could never do that.
No, yeah. I love that. I think that's practical, because we've said that, but we don't realize that, you know, the words out of our mouth speak life, blessings or cursings. And they, I always tell women, what we believe usually comes from something else. You know, right. Of course it's the accuser, but it's also our circumstance that we've tried to say, okay, it's my circumstance. It's what we see to dictate who we are, you know, in equivalent. So I love your book, The Struggle is Real. And I love that you talk about God's promises. And so according to this lie, you know, I'm too far gone, what would you tell women that in relation to his promises, what would you say to them?
Yeah, in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, that whole section is about being more than a conqueror and about God being for us. And if God can be for us, then who can be against us? And I think about just passages of scripture about his great love, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. But then also in the New Testament in John, where it says, you did not choose me, I chose you. We are Christ's beloved, we are chosen, and nothing separates us from God's love. And because of that, because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have all of the fruits of the Spirit, which enable us to live in peace and joy and love and all of those things. And therefore, no, regardless of what our circumstances are, we can be at peace and we can have joy and we can know that we are loved, because God is love and his love lives within us.
I like that. So, well, let's look at this practically. If I were to say, hey, Misty, wow, that's great. Like, you speak on stage, you host events, you're an author, and I just can't, there's no way I could do that. How do you begin to kind of unpack that with somebody if they were working with you on one-on-one, or, you know, coming to you for advice and counsel? How does that look practically?
Yeah. Practically, that looks like you have to be in the Word of God to know what the Word says, so that you have the Word inside you so that the Word can come out. So I would hold up the truth of what Scripture says to whatever lie they are being told, because like Casting Crowns song says, the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth tells me, do not be afraid. And so whatever is holding them back, whatever lie, whatever fear, I would just tell them to go to the Word. And is that what God says about you? Is that what the Word says about you? And then the more you study the Word, the more you can recognize those lies. You can take your thoughts captive. You can use Scripture to combat those lies. And I think that's the most practical thing. But we have to know what the Word says in order to use the Word.
I know. I think so. It's funny, because we always want the system, tell me the step process so that I can figure it out. And I always, it always goes back to the word. And then people are like, I knew you were going to say that. You know, I knew you were going to tell me to go read the Bible. So maybe how can we address, since yes, the word, to know the word, we have to be in his word, and we can't speak promises in life if we don't know what promise in life is. So how do you tell people to, or help people study the word in application?
Yeah. So in my Bible study, at the end of each day, I have declarations for them to speak over themselves that are drawn out from the lesson. So here's one that I have. I will praise God in the midst of my battle. I will not be anxious. Instead, I will choose to believe the word of God and his truth for my life. So just taking those words of scripture and reminding ourselves of who we are and whose we are and what the truth says. I've even posted scripture around my house when I've been in really difficult times. When my boys were little, I would put it in the kitchen cabinets. And every time I would open the kitchen cabinet, I would just see different things of truth, or on my bathroom mirror or wherever, just so that I could be reminded, because we are a forgetful people and we can get caught up in our own head. And that's where the battle is. It's in our head. So if we can take our thoughts captive and be reminded of truth, I think that's what gets us through. And that's what changes us from the inside out.
Yeah. Do you have any other great recommendations like that? Scripture throughout the house, speaking life. Is there anything else that comes to you that people could, maybe a Bible app or something to help them study the word? Is there any favorite study tools that you have?
Yeah, so I'm super nerdy. So my study tools are, like, I use BibleHub.com so that I can get into the Greek and read the commentaries and do all of that. But I also love the YouVersion Bible app. I love listening. So I have on Audible, I have Max McLean, who has an incredible voice, read me the Bible. And, you know, any way you can get the word in. And then just another practical tip would be journaling your prayers, because if you can journal and keep a record of God's faithfulness in your life, when you are struggling, you can go back and you can be reminded, oh, God answered this prayer. Oh my gosh, God showed up so big for me here. I needed a miracle and God did this amazing thing in my life. Mm-hmm. And if we can keep track of those things, or even just to journal to help us process whatever difficulty we may be in, I find that that God is with us in that journaling too.
No, I agree. I'm a big journaler. I would say I'm a journaler. I don't even think it's a word, but I think it's important too that we actually use our mouths to speak the words, you know, because faith is voice activated. So we need to use our power and authority in us and just speak it. So the prayers that you write, or even reading, like just reading the Bible out loud, or reading from even books that prayers, like your book, for example, Misty, just reading those with your mouth so that your ears hear it. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Right.
So does doubt and unbelief, right? From the people around us. And we can hear it. The more truth we have in our heart, we can hear the lies or the insecurities or anything else that comes from other voices. So I think it's important to, wouldn't you say, that we speak those words as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when my kids were young, that's one of the things that I really worked on with them, was scripture memory and having them say it out loud. We did Bible drill in our church where they had to, you know, open the Bible, find the verse, and then speak the verse, and they had to have it all from memory. But those were tools that I gave them young. But as I did that with them, those scriptures were also getting in me. So I love that dual work there, that if you're a mom and, you know, you may think, oh, are my kids going to remember this? It will be rooted and seated in them and it will come out of them. And so, yeah, I agree with you completely. I also, just writing scriptures. So sometimes I'll just write the scriptures in my journal. And there's something about the brain connection there as well, that when you write it, it just goes, it sinks into you. And so, yeah, speaking the word, writing the word, listening to the word, singing the word, any way that you can get the word in you, so that you can can have that voice of truth.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So to kind of wrap things up, I always love to ask the guests, what lie has the enemy been coming at you with? So the lie doesn't have to apply to today's lie at all. But in this current season of your life, is there a lie that the enemy keeps shooting at you? And how are you standing on truth? What are you opposing him with as you renew your mind to this?
We've been going through a really difficult time personally. And the enemy has tried to just attack me with all kinds of what if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? What if this does happen? There's a lot of those what if. So I'm just going to say it in a generality. And the way that I have combated that is really forcing myself to take my mind captive, because it happens like when I'm going to sleep. And instead of me having a peaceful night's sleep, that all of these thoughts begin to plague me. And so I just stop and I pray and I ask God for his help and I ask him to renew my mind. And none of what happens in this life takes him by surprise. And so one of the things that I always say is, God, this is not taking you by surprise. It is rocking my world right now. But you know exactly how to guide me and direct me. So give me wisdom. Help me, Lord. I need you. And I just pray a simple prayer like that. And I may have to pray it over and over and over. But that's what I do to combat the lies.
That's good. Where do you want people to find you? Obviously, we'll link the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you like to hang out the most?
Yeah. Well, if they go to mistyphillip.com, if they are struggling, I have these 10 powerful declarations for free that they can speak over themselves, or scriptures to pray if they're anxious. So I have those resources there. My podcast is also there, the By His Grace podcast. But I'm really online pretty much everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, all the places. And so they can find me, and I try to, put encouraging nuggets out on social media, as well as a ton of resources on my website. So that's probably the best place to go.
That's awesome. And I'll make sure I link that below so people can find your book and all your resources. And of course, your podcast, By His Grace.
Yeah.
So thank you again, Misty, for just sharing your heart and your story with the listeners, because I know that even as women, we get older and we just start thinking, I'm too far gone. It's too late, for me. And so thinking it's too far gone, we often even think, like you shared, it's my past. And there's no way I can do that. And so I'm just so thankful for you coming on and sharing your heart and really bringing the truth and how to study the Bible. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, but I don't want to miss you being here. So make sure you subscribe to the What's the Truth podcast. And I'd love to hear what truth that you're standing on today by leaving a review. Until next time, come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, where we can connect and continue to support and encourage each other on this journey to uncovering the lies that we believe to be true about our lives.